And we are back on Business Beat at 90.5 WICN. David Ginsburg speaking with Bill Murphy, who in his day job is a mortgage originator at Fairway Mortgage in Auburn, but is on the show with us today to talk about both his book, which is again called Thriving in the Storm, Nine Principles to Help You Overcome Any Adversity. But more so because Bill, for some reason, and I question your mental health in this, is running seven marathons on seven continents in 7 days to raise $50,000 for Make-A-Wish, which is extraordinary. It's called the Great World Race. It runs November 15th to 21st. How did you decide? First of all, I've never heard of the Great World Race until preparing for our conversation today. How did you decide that this was something you're going to take on?
Yeah, it was a process that just came to me, and then I decided it because I was questioning whether I was worthy to even do something like this. It was just one of those self-doubt things I battle. And, I was last year in the mortgage and real estate business was one of the worst years in 27 years of my life. And, mm-hmm. But I was pretty smart, where I was able to, save and put some stuff away. And things that I never would have done, I did last year. And there was a lot of spirituality retreats and things that I did with my family. And, just being away, doing some of these retreats and I was on a meditation retreat. I went to see Wim Hof out in Poland.
Oh, wow.
Jumping in icy streams in December in Poland is, quite exhilarating.
I would imagine so.
Yeah, but I got to do that with my 24-year-old son. It was just like really just stuff that I wouldn't have done because I've been busy my whole life. I've been busy my whole career and I wouldn't have done that. So the blessing was in a bad year, I did all these great things spiritually. But what happened was I did see that the Great World Race was coming across my feed and it was coming across some different things. And I was just like so intrigued and interested by it that I actually, while I was in Poland, I set up a call with the race director and I said, hey, listen, I've done a couple marathons, a couple Ironmans, but I've never done 7 days and seven marathons, especially in seven continents. It's my first time in Europe. I'm not that well traveled, but what do you think about that? And they're like, it's the mental game.
Right.
Of course you have to train physically. Of course you have to put the work in, but it's the mental game. You got to get through those dark times. And I was like, okay, I can master that. I can match that, but if there was a time that you have to finish these races and, if it was a qualifying time thing, then maybe I was going to struggle. But so the way that worked was, I was like, all right, I'm in. And so that was back in December. I signed it up in January and been preparing for the last 10 months, to get ready for this.
And so how many people participate in the Great World Race?
I believe it'll be about 50.
Yeah, so it's a small group. I would imagine that because of the experience you're going to share together, it's going to be a bonding experience among those 50 of you, assuming that all 50 actually finish all seven races in those 7 days. So do you travel together? Is it sort of, run, get to the next plane, get to the next city,
yep,
sleep as much as you can, and then run again?
Yes, that's it. You're sleeping on a plane. Yeah. And getting to the next destination.
So what I find fascinating two things. One is that you alluded to this a minute ago about how to fight through the dark times when you're running. And there's an old saying that the mind gives up long before the body does. And if you can push past that, your brain telling you to stop because it's uncomfortable, if you can push past that, you can truly get to extraordinary heights in doing so. But knowing how people train for a single marathon and the months that go into training and getting your nutrition correct and during the race itself, whether it's gels or, sports beverages, whatever it is, as you're running to stay hydrated and fueled, how do you train for seven races in 7 days at a very practical level where there's so much travel involved in between and sleep is going to be hard to come by and sleep is so important for your recovery? How does the race manage sleep and nutrition and make sure that the athletes are capable of doing this?
Yeah, so we will pack our own stuff. They will supply the nutrition, there'll be meals, I think, on the plane. But we'll be sleeping on the plane. But how I got ready for it was, I did an Ironman back in April, and then I did in Texas, and I did an ultra marathon, a 24-hour race in Rhode Island in August. And so the way that training went, it kind of simulated what I was going to do to train for the seven marathon, 7 days, seven continents with very little sleep, keep going. So like a lot of times ultra marathoners will take naps.
Yep.
And I, like, I said, you know what? I don't care about the mileage as much as I care about just getting, just keep moving awake, you know, being awake and keep moving, because I'll be super sleep deprived when this thing comes. And the way I prepared for that is, you know, I do days of 50 miles and run 50 miles in a day and then go run the next day on tired legs.
Wow.
It's kind of, you know, here we are in October, and, you know, 2 weeks ago I did the Newport Marathon, but I did, going into that Newport Marathon, I did 60 miles over 4 days going into the Newport Marathon on tired legs on purpose. And then I raced it. So I didn't really take a break. You know, I didn't just run it. I raced it. And so I got another marathon this weekend, and I've been running, you know, I'll run another 50 miles going into that marathon. You know, so you got to string together a lot of days. Like, if you're training for a regular marathon, you're going to taper a few weeks out.
Yep.
And then you're just going to do 3 or 4 short runs a week, you know, maybe a 10 miler, and then just keep tapering down. With this, you just got to either keep going on tired legs and tired body, tired mind. And that's where, you know, that's where you have to start playing the mental games with yourself. Because you will question what the heck you're doing and why you're doing it. Several times it's happened. It's been happening. And so just, you know, the why part is, hey, I'm doing this for a greater good. For the greater good. I'm doing this for another cause, and let's make a wish. And so, like, that's one tool in my tool belt. You know, I gamify it as much as I can. And what's my reward system when I finish this training? What's this reward system when I finish this marathon? What's the reward? You know, you got to keep playing. You have to just keep, you know, keep checking in on different things that you can do to get through some things when you don't want to keep going. So it's like, you know, I say play the mental game, gamify your dark times. And, you know, what it could just be something as simply as running to the next tree, and then running to the next tree, and then running to the next tree, and then running to the next tree.
I would imagine that you're going to eat a very large Thanksgiving dinner this year, Bill.
I would imagine, too.
I think you might have to have a second meal for the family.
Yeah.
But I think it's interesting. You talk about gamifying the run. And over the last, I don't know, 10, 12 years anyway, we've heard that notion of gamification, especially in the business world, quite a bit as a way to hook people in our social media age, that gamification keeps users hooked longer, which then keeps them participating longer. It's interesting to apply it to something like running marathons. And is that gamification, is that a technique you use in other areas of your life as part of just the mindset approach that you have?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, in business. Like, for example, I mean, for years when I was in the, I mean, I work a little bit remote now, but, like, I'll work hard for a couple hours, and then I'll reward myself and say, you know what, I haven't scrolled, I haven't done anything, I'm going to go out and get an iced coffee, and I'm going to take a drive, and I'm going to listen to some sports radio, I'm not going to make any calls, I'm not going to talk to anybody, I'm just going to be by myself, and, like, that is just a subtle reward.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people will use drinking and you know, like I'll allow myself to have a drink when I'm done, or I'll allow myself to indulge in a cheesecake when I'm done. Like, so if you set up the reward systems, that's just part of the gamification. I mean, you know, however you do it. Or, you know, there's a book I listened to a long time ago that I really disagreed with, you know, just, you know, during the Patriots run. And I just, that was just like, my reward was always on Sundays. They're like, you know what, I worked hard all week, I'm just going to sit down and watch football, have a couple beers, and that's my reward. And I'm going to go back and work hard. I'm going to go back and work out hard. I'm going to go back, you know. But then, you know, I listened to this book, and it's called 10X. And he's like, you know what, if you want to reward yourself, you better make sure you put the work in for the reward, or you're cheating yourself. And I was like, wait a second. Now, did I really put in an honest week? Did I put in an honest day? Did I really go hard the whole time? And so when you set up these reward systems, again, be kind to yourself. I'm not saying hammer yourself all the time, but just check in with yourself. And did you really do the work? Are you really worthy of by your standards? Are you really worthy of your reward when you gamify things? And that will help you start to keep pushing higher limits, higher levels, and getting beyond where you think you can go.
Without a question, Bill. And you know, it's interesting you say that without taking this off track. I think one of the biggest books of the past decade, anyway, has been Atomic Habits by James Clear. And it's a book that for me was transformative, in that I'm not a huge proponent of self-help books generally. I find a lot of times that the advice is kind of trite in general. But Atomic Habits really stuck with me from the get-go. And one of those is the habit tracker, that if you want to build better habits, then you need to hold yourself accountable to them and have an accountability system built with that. And so in my journals, I write every day. And on Sundays, I do an accountability tracker. And how did I do on my habits? And, you know, they evolve over the years. But, you know, did I hit my goal for fitness? Did I hit my goal for reading? Did I hit my goal for limiting my phone use? And things like that. And to your point, yes, you want to be kind to yourself in doing so and not beat yourself up over things that, there may be extenuating circumstances. But you also need to be very honest with yourself and say, you know, I fell short because for whatever reason, I spent too much time scrolling and procrastinating instead of doing the work I needed to do. Or, you know, I didn't get the workouts in this week that I was hoping to do for whatever reason, and I have to do better next week. And grade yourself in a way that's honest and compassionate, but honest, and hold yourself to account. Because otherwise, you'll sink into poor habits and you won't get anywhere close to where you're hoping to get to.
Yeah, that is so true.
It is.
You got to one of the things that you want to talk about gamifying, you know, one of the things that we can all do is if you just want to have a little fun with something, say, you know what, I want to change a habit. And because I know this habit isn't great for me, I know I don't deserve to, you know, I shouldn't be doing this habit. It's not good for my health, whatever. And just swap it out with a good habit.
Yeah.
You know, that could be something simple as like I scroll 2 hours a night and I, you know, change it out with I'm going to read 2 hours a night. But you want to don't quit cold turkey or scrolling. Scroll for an hour and get in. But just, you know, that could be alcohol. That could be, you know, indulging in snacks. That could be anything. Just swap out bad habits. Take one bad habit, swap it for a good habit. You know what? Maybe it's I'm gonna go to bed earlier and I'm gonna start running in the morning. You know, like
right.
You know, instead of watching TV or news or whatever I do at night, I'm gonna cut that out and I'm going to get up early and run, or I'm going to get up and early and work out, or I'm going to get up and early and journal or read scripture or whatever the case may be. But swap out a good habit with a bad, swap out a bad habit with a good habit, and you'll start to see transformation.
You will. And you'll also start to understand the benefits of discipline and that setting limits, setting boundaries, and there's a reward there. There's an author I've followed for a long time. You know, another sort of inspirational thing, but much more it goes by, the blog is called Zen Habits. It's been around a long time. And yep. Leo Barbawad is the guy. And one of the things he wrote once a long time ago that stuck with me is savor the discipline. And I think it's so true. It's not just saying, no, I'm not going to have that piece of pizza, or I'm not going to go out for that beer, or whatever the thing you're stopping yourself from doing, but it's savoring the discipline of, you know, I'm not having that beer because I'm going to feel better having a glass of water right now. I'm not going to watch another hour of TV. I'm going to go to bed and read for an hour before I go to sleep, and savor the discipline of doing those things. And the power of doing that, when you realize how much you're actually capable of, it feeds on itself. It becomes a self-sustaining element of your life, and you will benefit in the long term as a result of that. And it feels like your whole life is based on that. You know, you seem to be an incredibly disciplined person.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, speaking of discipline, you know, I recently, over the last year while I've been doing all this training, I incorporated what's called a 3-2-1 routine. And it's, you know, don't eat 3 hours before bed, no work 2 hours before bed, and no scrolling or TV or anything 1 hour before bed. And it's helped me get up earlier. It's helped me do more training. It's helped me do what I needed to do. And the reason on the eat stuff is because your sleep is so much better.
Mm-hmm.
It's a habit you have to, you know, kind of slowly change. If you eat right before bed, normally you better change that slowly, not all of a sudden. And boundaries, setting boundaries. Like, a lot of people will answer texts, emails, and you know, at all hours of the day and night and weekends and whatever. It's just like, you know what? What's going to happen at 8 o'clock at night that can't wait till the morning?
Right.
You know, are you going to save a real estate transaction if it gets messy at 8 o'clock at night? No, because no one else is working. So, you know what? Give yourself grace and just deal with it in the morning. So that's why, you know, one of the things I stopped doing is it's been great for me and my family, just, you know, giving up. And I've done that a long time ago, because I was driving myself crazy, is like I put boundaries on when I'm working.
Yep.
And that's been great. And then the TV or the scrolling or whatever it happens to be is, you know, it's the 80-20 rule. Do it 80% of the time. You know, if you on the weekends you want to indulge, you want to do stuff, fine, whatever. But most of the time, if those are your strong habits, your foundation habits, then it's gonna take you to high levels.
It is, without a doubt. And I think it's interesting, in the couple minutes we have left, I want to talk quickly. You're also a public speaker. I know you're a sales leader. For the WISN audience that's listening right now, how can they learn more about your public speaking role and the book? And if they want to support your run, which is the Great World Race, November 15th through 21st, you're running 7 marathons on 7 continents in 7 days. God bless you. Better you than me. But how can people learn more about you, and especially on the public speaking side and the book?
Yeah, I'm on LinkedIn. It's William B. Murphy on LinkedIn. You can follow me on socials. You know, a lot of the race stuff and the Great World Race and the charity is on, you know, my Facebook. I think it's Bill Murphy. Bill Murphy 71, and then Instagram is Bill Murphy underscore Thrive. So that's on Instagram. So you get me on Instagram, Facebook, or LinkedIn.
Yep.
And feel free to reach out. And
the book, you know, again, is for everyone listening. The book again is called Thriving in the Storm: 9 Principles to Help You Overcome Any Adversity. I think we've learned a lot in this conversation, and how you apply those lessons to preparing to run these marathons that you're doing coming up. And kudos to you, Bill, for doing that. If people want to donate, if you're still accepting contributions for your Make-A-Wish run, can WSN listeners support that? And if so, how can they do so? Those same channels?
Yeah, you'll find me on that. It's part of the socials have the links on there. We're trying to update them daily. We've got an auction going on right now.
Okay. For the audience listening, I'll put the information up on our website as well. I'm going to share this episode as a podcast, so I'll put the links there as well for people that want to participate. And Bill Murphy, thank you, first of all, for taking the time to speak with me today on Business Beat. Secondly, I want to wish you the best of luck in your upcoming endeavors. And please follow up. Let us know after you've run 7 marathons in 7 days and 7 continents. Let us know how you did and how you're feeling.
Yeah, I should come back with 7 lessons.
You should come back with a limp.
You know. That would be one of the lessons. Not to do it in you or in pain, you know.
For sure.
Yeah, I love it. Thank you. Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it, David.
It is my pleasure. Bill Murphy, thank you so much. The best of luck. And thank you to everyone listening. This has been Business Beat on 90.5 WICN. Here's to good business.